Blog Talk Radio.
That time again, Friday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you know it's the No Chaser. I am your co-host of the No Chaser, and I'm joined, as usual, by my host with the most, Mr. Detroit, Mac Williams.
Shit, you fool. I'm just getting over a cold. Don't be doing that to me. Hey, everybody, what's happening? Hey, hope you had a good week, Jerry. Glad to be here. Just want to let everybody know that this is the No Chaser Show. It's me and Jerry every Friday, 7 o'clock Eastern. You know, we're here every Friday, man. If I'm not here, Jerry's here every Friday. If Jerry
you know
ain't here,
it.
I'm doing something. Well, we reprogramming or something, but...
Right.
We do live radio, and I think we're some of the bravest dudes in the world because I'm going to tell you, stuff always mess up, but at least we're here, and we do it, and we enjoy it. I just want to say that please join our Facebook page. I haven't been pushing it enough. Our Facebook page is No Chaser with Mac Williams. If you want to go on there, please join and like us. That's where I put a lot of our guests that are coming up. I advertise them there. And also on my page, which is Mac Williams, on Facebook also. That's M-A-C, last name Williams. Please, if you guys want to join Jerry, Jerry, tell them your page.
It's Jerry Taylor with a J.
It is.
Jerry with
Jerry
a J.
Taylor. And I would suggest you go on there and read some very interesting things, things he has to say or what have you. And please, please, please go on his show. And your show is on Sunday morning. Is that correct?
10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called
That's
The
right.
Master Plan.
There
and
you
I
go.
talk about a lot of sports. But every now and then, I sprinkle in what's going on in society. It could be anything, and it's always an open forum. You bring it, I'll bring it, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and he's one of the, and I have to admit, you know, for us not to be politically lined up, we find our way. We find our way to agree on some things, and most things we probably don't. But genuinely a good guy, and I respect his opinions and respect what he is because. At the end of the day, I'm kind of going into this because I just want to say short that I just wish people would just stop trying to win the argument and just stand for what you believe. Don't twist it. Don't lie. Don't put it out there. Me and Jerry go at it. But at the same time, at the end of the day, I know that Jerry's motive is not to hurt. It's always to help or to be or to give. And for that, we may have a difference on how to do it. I may not like his way of doing it. I may think it's insane, but I can always respect him because I know it's all the motive is always right, and that's what we have to start looking at in our debates is what is the person's motive. If you look at the motive instead of trying to win the argument, 9 times out of 10 you will find yourself debating with somebody who you'll learn from, who you'll respect at the end, and won't take it personal. The problem is that we're a competitive society. And we all want to win the argument, and I just don't think that's where we need to go. And I think that's a lot of reason why we got people out here who don't like each other genuinely. You know, I don't like him. He's stupid. It don't go like that. You know, Jerry has opinions that I have. I'm like, man, you're nuts. And he says the same thing about me. But
right?
at the end of the day, Jerry knows I'm not trying to hurt nobody. It's just where I stand. And you have to, in this country, we have to get back to respecting others' opinions and others' beliefs.
Exactly.
And saying, if I don't have to agree with you to do that. And I just say this one last thing. And this is for Christians, and because I'm a Christian. One, we're not perfect. And I don't understand where everybody got this belief from. There's a couple of things I'm going to just get off my chest real quick. And one thing is that some of the secular people who don't believe in God or don't really believe God or read their Bible the way I do or do whatever. I don't criticize anybody for that. But my problem is, a few problems that I have with people is that even though you don't do, just remember this, I hear people all the time point fingers at us and say, yeah, you cuss, or yeah, you do this, or yeah, you do that. But what people need to understand is Jesus never said that once he said you'll be, if you accept him, believe him as your Lord and Savior, you take him, you'll be saved. He never, ever, ever in the book uses the word perfect, not in the way that we humans use it. There is no, we're not going to be perfect. We're still going to make mistakes. We're still going to fail. We're still going to do that. If it were true, as I said before on some of my posts on Facebook, if you're a friend of mine, I've said, if it were easy, as if we just became Christians and we were perfect and we never made mistakes once we said we accepted Jesus, we could fold up the Bible. We wouldn't have to pray. We wouldn't need church. We wouldn't need Jesus at all. We'd be done. I got it. I'm good. I'll never sin again. But I say this because what really pisses me off is that sometimes people like to point. Oh, you say you're a Christian. Well, you're a Christian, but look at what you just did. Slim, nobody ever said I wasn't going to get angry. Nobody ever said I wasn't going to, you know, say things. Jesus got angry.
Right.
I mean, we're still human beings. Until we are gone from this world, until we get to heaven and our bodies and our prayers are perfected, then that's different. But as long as we're here on this earth, we're going to struggle. But having Jesus in your life, according to what I believe and what I know of God's word and what God has told me, is that we live a better life. It's better than it is being without him, not having him at all, not believing in him at all. It's a better life. So I just want to bring that out, but I just want to say this for our Christians. We got to stop hating and being mean towards gay people. I said this and I'll say it again. I'm not against anybody's lifestyle choice. And I want to say this to Christians, and this is the biggest thing I want everybody to understand on this show, whether you listen to it live or you listen to it later. God gave everybody a free will. Everybody. Not just Christians. Everybody. He says in the Bible consistently, do this or do this. If you do this, he tells you what the repercussions are. If you do this, he tells you what the repercussions are. And what Christians need to understand is that God protects our rights. He protects our choice. If I decide I want to live like a heathen, I don't believe in God and I don't want it, he's going to protect me for that. He's going to protect my right to not believe in him. He's not going to force me to like him, God doesn't force us to do anything. He constantly gives you opportunities and he tries to put people in your path to get you to switch, but he wants it to be your decision. So I say that to say this. If God, who is almighty, who could do anything he wants, make us do anything we want to do, whether we wanted to or not, if he has enough respect and enough love for us to let us make our own choices and to let us choose whatever we want, and then we just have to be responsible for the repercussions of our choices, of course, okay? But if he does it, why can't we? If you're gay and you want to be gay, great. That's your choice. I respect that, and I will never tell you. I'm not going to tell unless you come to me and you say to me, "What do you think?" or you ask me a question. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you what I feel and what I, according to what I know and what I believe. Okay, but I'm not going to force anybody or treat you any different. And I think that Christians have to stop coming against gay people and treating them different because they don't believe as you do, because you're the same. We're the same people who turn around when we're mad when people tease us because we're Bible thumpers and we're Jesus freaks and we're kooks and crazies and we're believing in something that we can't see. We're the same people who get angry and don't like that rhetoric, which I personally don't care. But we need to respect other people's lifestyle choices, and we need to respect other people's things that they want to do, and we just need to respect it, period. And I wanted to kind of get that off my chest.
Okay. I have a caller. And you know who this caller is. He usually calls in on the show. But I'm going to wait because I want to just target something you just said and ask you this question. You said that a person that is gay makes a choice to live a certain lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Now, the assumption is and the belief I have is that you don't make that choice. You are born that way. And I understand that there's more and more people that are so-called, in quotation marks, coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But my belief is it's not a choice that you make. It's something that's within your genes or something that you're born with. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, how I feel about it is this. According to what I know, and, you know, let me say this to you. I want to preface, before I say this answer, I want to preface this. I have a relationship with God that's very personal. I'm not a person who just reads the Bible, and then I go, oh, that's the way it is, that's what it says, that's it, to a certain extent. I pray before I open the Bible. I open it and I read it. I find topics and things that I want to look. I research. I look at it. But I do it in conjunction with praying and asking the Lord to give me understanding. Show me this, Lord. Is this right? I don't know. What do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? Now, I'm going to say something. I'll probably say, yes, God does talk to me, and yes, he does. He reveals some things to me and talks to me about some things. That's me. I don't put that on anybody else. So what I'm saying to you is this is not my interpretation or me. I didn't write the Bible.
Right.
There are things in the Bible, I'll also say this, there are things in the Bible that can be confusing. There are things in the Bible that can be that seem contradictory. Those are the things that I go to the Lord about and say, what do you mean by this? What is this? And I go research. I use different books, different things, concordances, things like that with the Bible along to research and find out. God shows me answers on some things I ain't got no answer for yet. Some things I just haven't. So, how do I feel about that? Well, for one, there are things called iniquities. God, the Bible talks about that. Iniquities are things that come through the bloodline. For instance, some of the things that I had to fight when I was a kid was I was a womanizer. When I say womanizer, I mean I've dreamed about women. I'm a womanizer. I liked a lot of women when I was young. I did that when I was single. When I was married one time before, I cheated. And things like that. So those were things. I was a Christian, and I struggled with that. I don't struggle with it now, but I did. But here's what I'm trying to say to you. But I didn't see my father. My father wasn't around while I was all growing up. I didn't even know who my father was. I didn't meet my father physically until I was maybe like 7 or 8, and then I didn't see him again until I was 22. Okay, my dad wasn't around. Right,
okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
But as I got older and started to meet my dad, things that I wondered about myself, like why was I like this, why would I think like that, why do I do this, why do I do that, a lot of it, once I started to know my father, and when I say know my father, I'm not talking about having intimate conversations. I'm talking about just the way he treated me, the way he did things, things that he didn't do, things that I didn't like, things that I hated about him. And what I realized is that it was an iniquity passed down from my father through the blood. The same thing, the Bible talks about that. If you don't resolve it, it goes down to your kid. And I think that's a lot of where sometimes when we say things like the world says alcoholic are passed down, you have that same gene or you have that same whatever, whatever. Now, as far as being gay, here's what it is. Here's how I answer the question. The question is this. If I read the Bible and I believe the same God that loves me, that made rules that said you can't, I don't want you to do this, 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 and showed me things that I shouldn't be doing and why I shouldn't be doing it. My question is very simple. Why would God, who says in the Bible he can't stand it, it's an abomination or whatever, that's his words, not mine. That's what's in the Bible. And first of all, you have to believe that the Bible was written by man under the inspiration of God, which I do. Okay? But
okay.
What I'm saying to you, how I'm explaining it is this way. Why would a God who hates and says it's an abomination, why would he create a person like that? That would be crazy. But yet everything else in the world that is contradictory to God is a choice. God doesn't create thieves. At some point you made a decision that you wanted to be a thief. You know, do I think that some people turn gay because of somebody messed with them when they was a kid? Could be. I've heard some people say that. I've heard a lot of gay people. I know the gay people who have given me different explanations as to, you know, when you delve down into it, certain things happen at a certain age. Or they were around people who were like that. That's why God says be careful who your friends are. If I started hanging around a bunch of thieves, I would eventually start to think maybe thieving is okay. Maybe it's all right. I start reasoning, you know what? Taking a little something ain't that bad. So you have to be careful. So do I believe that God creates gay people? Absolutely not. Do I believe that it's a choice? Some. Do I believe it's a spirit thing? Yes. I believe it is a spirit. Do I believe it is a spirit that's on somebody that they have? Absolutely. I have read the Bible. I know about spiritual things. I read about it. I according to what I've read, according to what God has shown me, this is what I believe. Because remember this, and then I'll give this final point. The reason why I believe that that God has expressed to me is the reason why He does not like the being gay or homosexual. Let's just say it that way.
Okay.
Is because in the Bible it expressly talks about some of the stuff that people are doing today, like having sex with animals, laying with animals, doing stuff like that. So this stuff ain't old. This is stuff that was been since the beginning of time.
Well, that's different than being gay.
No. I'm saying he talks about the homosexual thing too, but I'm just saying, I was bringing up the point that there are a lot of things that people are doing today that have always been, around.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my point. The point is, if you read the Bible, everything that God created creates something. If you put this together, it produces something. If a man gets with a woman, she gets pregnant, she has a baby, right? If a male and a female get together, they create something. And God is all about creating. If you know your Bible and you read it, He's about creating, being fruitful, planting seeds. He's the greatest farmer ever. So He believes in planting and increasing. He believes in multiplying. The first thing He told Adam and Eve is be fruitful and multiply. At every point, when he destroyed the earth with Noah and the water and wiped everybody off the face of the earth, why do you think God put male and female, all animals on the ark? And put all male and females on the ark along with him, his sons, his daughters, their girlfriends, their daughters. You know why? Because when he wiped the earth out, he had to start all over. So guess what he had? Male and female. He didn't have males and males and females and females. He loves creating. The reason why I think God does not like it is because it creates nothing. Two males and two females getting together don't create anything. So if you know anything about God, He's all about producing, and it produces nothing. And I think that's why He considers it an abomination. He hates when it doesn't. When you plant something, you do something, you don't multiply. There's a story in the Bible about, I don't know if you heard this story, about the master who came out and gave, since you are the master, he gave out talents to his different servants. He gave them different amounts according to their ability. Do you remember that story? Have you ever heard that Bible story?
No, I haven't.
It's called The Story of the Talents. And in fact, after the show, I'll text you over the thing where you can read it. And he gave out these talents. And he told them, when I give you these talents, go out and bring me back. When I come back from my trip, produce more. And when he said that, all of them, when he left, it tells the story about how all of them produced something except the one. He had one bag. And he was so afraid, he said, I'm not gonna give this. I think Jesus told this story. He said, he was so scared, I'm scared I'll lose the money, I'm scared I won't do right with it. You know what? I'm gonna make my master proud, and I'm gonna bury it. And he buried it and left it there. And when the master came back, everybody he gave those talents to produce, gave him back his original, what he gave them, and more. And the only one he punished and that he did not like and he sent away was the one who was so afraid and gave him back the same talent he had and brought him back no growth. So I'm kind of illustrating it is that God is all about producing something else. But I don't believe that God creates anybody gay. I believe certain things happen to people, and I think it gives allowance to spirits to take over and move in there and they decide to be that way. I believe it's a choice. If it's spiritual, whether it's spiritual or they choose it on their own. You know, how come is it that a woman is married to a man for over 20 years, she gets divorced and has a real bad time with this guy, and all of a sudden she decides she wants to be gay all this time? That's a choice. You know? So for me, I don't believe that God ever creates anything that he God's just not the type of person that creates a person that he hates. He doesn't create something that he doesn't like. That's what I'm saying.
Well, we have Mikhail waiting very patiently to chime in here. I'm going to bring him in right now. Mikhail, you've been listening to the conversation for quite a bit. Your comments.
Hello.
Hey, what's happening, girl?
Your
long time, man.
I just was trying to make sure I was on the right call. Is this the Friday night Bible study?
You know what, Mikhail? Hey, man, I love you like a brother, man. You are hilarious. I swear to God, if I ever needed a laugh, I needed it this week, but you are a fool, man. I swear. Something is wrong with you, boy. Nah, man, I just gave my belief. But like I said, the one thing, and that's why I preface everything before you ask me the question is, I don't push my stuff on nobody. I put it out there, I post it, but I'm not directly at nobody, and I can assure you, anybody who knows me, I don't treat gay people, homosexuals, women, I don't treat nobody no different. We cool, we good. As long as you don't push on me, I don't push on you. We cool. I treat you just like anybody else. If it's a gay guy with a flat tire on the side of the road and I can help him, I'm going to help him. I ain't got no difference in that. But I'm kind of mad at my own people because it's hard for us to witness to other people about what Christ is when we're misrepresenting him by being mean and nasty to people because they don't believe like us. But then we're the same people who will turn around and say, well, they call me a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak or, you know, the atheists are up against us putting up a manger scene. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, if you out being mean to them, I mean, that's not how to win the battle. You don't win the battle by being nasty and mean because, to be honest with you, God, that's a sin. That's a sin if I go out and treat a gay person mean because of what they are. God holds me accountable. God says love them. He never said hate them. He never in the Bible says hate the person that doesn't believe like you, hate the gay. He never says that. He says love everybody. In fact, God says love the people that hate you. So how can I as a Christian, and see, the same way Jerry would say the same thing. Jerry knows me. Jerry. I talk about everybody and I say what I have to say, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So would you respect me if I came on here and I was trying to be mealy mouth about Christians and didn't tell the truth about Christians either? We can be messed up too. We do some messed up stuff. We don't represent
absolutely.
Right either. So that's why I said I'm coming out doing this not to try to beat on my brothers and sisters in Christ, but at the same time saying that look, we need to do better because if I were a gay person. And I met a Christian, and you treat me nasty. What makes me think that Jesus is great? Dang, you mean the dude who runs you makes you like this? I don't want to join your club. That's stupid. We're not winning that way. That's why I wouldn't want to join your job. You know, Jerry, I wouldn't want to do your job and come to your work if every day you come home with bruises and stuff and your boss is beating the hell out of you. Speaking of Rutgers.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I mean, you know, it's just we just got to do better, man.
Well,
so,
I got something, and I just downloaded it. I was going to talk about it tomorrow, but since you opened up with this,
mm-hmm.
I want to play this. It's about 4 minutes long.
Okay.
It's an interview with Magic Johnson
mm-hmm.
and TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about, well, I'll let you listen to it. I don't know if
no,
you know,
I know
about
it. I know about his son coming out.
Okay.
Oh man, you know.
So I want to play this clip.
Who's
I'm
going to
play this
me?
Clip, and then
no,
we go
Jerry
from there.
Jerry is so wrong.
No, he's not. No, he's not. I like this because it should. Because if I'm going to talk about it, you talk about it all.
Oh,
absolutely.
My God.
So I'll listen to this clip,
okay.
And then we can talk about it. We're on this subject. This is a straight talk, no chaser. So we're on the subject right now. Mac opens it up. Well, let's talk about it. Let me play this clip. It's about, like I said, it's about 4 minutes long.
Okay.
So listen to it, and then we can talk about it.
Okay.
How long have you known EJ was gay?
We've known for a long, long time, you know, that my son EJ was gay and that, you know, it's interesting when you're his parent. And we finally had to sit down and talk about it, you know. And I told him, look, I'm going to love you regardless. Just let me know, are you or aren't you? And then finally he just said, yes, I am.
So you initiated it?
Yes, yes, because he wasn't going to come to me with it, you know. And so I think Cookie and I just said, you know what, we should sit him down. Because also we want to protect him too, you know. And so I just took him through the birds and the bees talk and make sure, hey, you protect yourself, protect your partner. And then also, what do you think about what your friends and people are going to say once you tell them, or have you told anybody? So at that time, he had really never discussed it with anybody but his two closest friends.
How old was he?
And he had to be about 12, 13 years old, 14 years old, you know. And so it was a hard conversation only because he was so young. And what do you tell him at that age, and what do you say to him? And so, but other than that, you know, I told him, hey, we are here to support you, man. We're going to love you no matter who you are, what you do. We just want you to love yourself and also make sure that you have all the information. And that's what I wanted to give him, just provide him with advice and guidance.
Did you become a confidant of his as he was coming out more publicly?
Yeah, in a different way. It's interesting. When I showed my support and love for him and I told him, hey, I'm good with it. Just be you. He went like, because, okay, Dad is okay, you know, because he really wanted to make sure I was okay. He wasn't worried about his mom. He was worried about me. And once I supported him, then he could talk more about it.
Was it because you were such a huge sports star and there was that kind of aura?
Exactly, exactly. And I think he was worried about what would I think, am I going to change toward him or something like that. And I love EJ so much. That's my main man. So I told him, I said, nothing has changed. I just want to help you along the way because a lot of people are going to be happy for you. Then some won't understand. So you have to remember, always talk to me, always talk to your mother. And we'll just help you along the way.
Did he have a tough time?
You know
As time went on?
As time went on, I think he really wanted to be out, but he was torn. Okay, should I come out and say I'm gay? Not hold it. But actually, I would have to say that TMZ really helped him. This was a good moment for us as a family and a greater moment for him. I think now he's just the bubbly kid we knew again, and he's just happy that it is out.
And when he kind of did it, mm-hmm. you know, where we were on the street, you know, he did it in a way that was unmistakable, that he wanted to make that statement.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Harvey, young people struggle, right? They struggle, especially when you're sitting there and you know you want to tell the world, but it's just, he just didn't know how. He just didn't know how everybody else, not his family, because we already knew how everybody else was going to react. So I think he just said, you know what, this is my moment, this is my time. I'm happy to share with the world who I am. And I said, go, EJ, go. You know, I'm behind him 1,000,000%. This is really wonderful for him.
Okay. Who wants to comment first?
I mean, it could. I've talked a lot, but I'm saying I give my man a chance. But I mean, what is your question about that?
Hold on. It don't matter what the question is. Hold on. Let me give you my reaction to the whole thing.
Okay.
That's your reaction. Oh, that's okay.
he's a fool. No, see, the only reason I did that is because I saw the pictures, right? I saw all the pictures and whatnot, and look, man, I'm not homophobic. I'm not, you know, a homophobe. I don't have a dislike for anyone's lifestyle, gay, bi, trans, asexual, hetero. I don't care. You know, I accept people how they are, right? But Slim, You got on like a mink coat, and you got on a pink bag, which don't match nothing that you got on, for real. You know what I'm saying? And you just look
is you look like, I mean, no, seriously, he looked like a clown. He looked like a clown. I'm sorry. He looked like a straight clown.
Oh, my.
You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to what he choosing to do, his lifestyle and all like that. I understand he's young and all like that, but come on, man. Come on, man.
I'm trying to figure out when you played that, Jerry, I can tell you what my reaction is. I mean, my reaction is it's kind of the same as what if it was my daughter, because I've always thought about that as she was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always thought that I think with me, with my daughter, we're very honest with each other, and I can say things, but she knows where I stand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be honest with you, I would have the same. What Magic did is probably what I would have done, except I would have done certain things different. For me, I would have told my daughter at that age, I would have probably done other things to try to either thwart that or do other things according to my beliefs, okay? Now, here's the thing. If she's grown, and my daughter came to me, she's grown now, she came to me now and said, I am, I wouldn't treat her any different. But here's what I would do. I would pull out a Bible, the same Bible that I read to her when she was a kid, and I would have told her what God said about it. I would have told her the consequences of what she does. And I would have told her, I love you regardless, and I will treat you the same regardless. You know, that's cool, but at the same time, I would have let her know, I'm not okay with this. As far as I'm not going to endorse it. I respect it, and it's your choice. I'm going to love you the same, treat you the same. But I'm going to let her know that I don't endorse it. And I think that's important because the one thing I want, like he said, all the information, I'm going to give my daughter all the information about it. I'm going to give her everything I got from a Christian perspective because that's how I raised her. That's how she's raised. So I would give her all the information on that, but I would never treat her any different. And my daughter knows me enough that I wouldn't. I still be calling her. I still say, how you doing, what you going on, this and this and that. I will admit to you certain things would change as far as you could have your girlfriend come to my house, but y'all ain't going to sleep together in my house. I mean, there's just certain things I'm just not going to do because I can't condone things in my house that I know that are not right. Now, if she wants to come and, you know, spend the night, fine. Sleep in the living room, she sleep in the room. And, you know, there are certain things I just have to abide by. And I would have to pray and ask the Lord, honestly, how to handle that. But I would not treat my daughter any different, but she would know the truth. My daughter would never be able to come to anybody and say, my dad is, I mean, he doesn't agree with my lifestyle, but he loves me enough to give and respects me as being a grown woman to have my choice. The same as I would do anybody else out here. And that's it. I mean, that's all you can do. Because other than that, once she's grown, God holds her accountable for her choices. Only thing I can do is tell her, here's what the consequences are of your lifestyle choice. That's all I can tell you. You make the right choices. Now, at that point, guess what I'm doing as a father? At that point, my job is to pray and talk to the Lord about it and hope that he can put her in a position to change her, to make her turn from it, whatever it is. And that's my job. But my job is not to make her life a living hell or to disown her or to treat her any different. That I would never do. But she would know that I wasn't cool with it.
Yeah, but aren't you pretty much not happy with it and telling her that you're displeased when you start pulling out a Bible? And you did say this yourself. You raised her on the Bible. So pulling out the Bible and
is the last thing she want to see you do.
And guess what? Wait a minute. Let me finish. Okay. And opening up the passage that says that the gay lifestyle, and I'm just paraphrasing now. The gay lifestyle is an abomination. Now, if you raised her on the Bible, she knows that already. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she doesn't.
Wait a minute. As a grown woman, she doesn't need to be reassured.
But,
not reassured, but revisited. That passage in the book.
But here's
so
the key.
Right,
you,
right
here's
there,
what, here's
you,
what
you,
I left out. But here's the important part I left out.
Okay.
I raised her on that, but you have to realize me and her mother have been divorced for years. So as she was a growing up, even as a kid, before she hit teenage, I haven't been there every day.
Okay.
I talk to her about it all the time. When I go see her, we go to church. We
right.
do. So what I'm saying is it's not something that I've never sat down and shown my daughter that scripture. I've never
okay.
said this and this. But what I was trying to say in that moment was, if I pull out a Bible, my daughter's not going to go, oh, my God, you pulled out the Bible, because I pull it out all the time. When she comes in season, when she came to the summers, I pulled it out.
But that's different, Mac. Wait a minute. Before you go there.
Okay.
In the moment she comes to you, or whoever initiates the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and she comes out and says,
mm-hmm.
yes, I live in an alternate lifestyle.
Right.
And you pull out the Bible. It's not the same feeling when you pull that Bible out at that moment as if you pulled the Bible out when she's just visiting.
But
it's not the same moment.
Wait a minute. You're assuming that I would do that as soon as she said that. That's not what I said. Right. But I didn't say, I said if she told me, I would have.
Right, well,
okay, then let me paraphrase my words.
Right.
I would eventually pull out the Bible. But that doesn't mean I'm going to sit there and go like, you're what? Stay right there. Stay right there, young lady. I'm going to go get the Bible. No, I'm not going to do that.
But that's what
I'm
going to
ask her, how did it happen? How did you come to this decision? We're going to have a conversation like we always have. But I'm just saying, what I'm trying to tell you is there's no difference. It's no different. Here's the funny part. It's no different than if I find out my son is a thief. If I found out my daughter was
difference.
A thief, I would hold
that's
on.
That's a big difference.
No, it's not.
That's
no,
a big difference.
You know why it's not a difference?
It's
you know
a
why
big,
it's not
it's
a big
difference.
You want to know why it's
big
not a difference? You know why, do you want to know why it's a big difference to you guys? Because you guys look at it as, oh, my God, that is so explosive. Let me tell you something. If
no,
you
no,
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 we're not looking
no, no.
at it as it's
okay.
explosive.
Okay, well, here's what I'm saying. Well, let me say it to you this way. I'm going to give my son, my daughter, I'm going to give my kids all the answers the same way the world does. I'm going to give them the same answers according to what I believe, the same as every other parent feels they believe. There are some parents out here that disown their kids because they have extreme beliefs and they believe this and this and this and this and they don't know what they're talking about, and that's what they do. That's not the right thing. God deals in truth. I deal in truth. I'm going to tell my daughter the truth. She don't have to like it. She don't have to even say, she might say, I never want to talk to you again. Guess what? I've done my part. God only, this is what you guys got to understand. I'm going to do what I know and believe that God wants me to do. And guess what? Some of the things that God wants you to do and God asks you to do are not you ain't going to get the response that you think you're going to get. And you have to be willing to say, I've done my part. And I am not going to, what I will never do is never, if my daughter comes to me and tells me something, I am never going to turn my daughter away and say, okay, cool, whatever. If I got something to say, if I got to dispense some knowledge and put it on there, I'm going to give it to her. I'm not going to force her to take it. I'm going to lay it out for her and give it to her. At that point, it's your choice. Either you do it or you don't. If you don't want to follow it, fine. I'm going to love you and treat you the same. But we've had this conversation, and guess what? At the end of the day, when my daughter goes through whatever the repercussions of her lifestyle choice, she'll never be able to turn to me and say, Dad, you never told me. Dad, why didn't you tell me this and this and this? Why did you let me go around with this? And I've heard too many kids say that about a lot of things. And I ain't talking about, and you can all sit and say, well, that's different with being gay. No, I've heard kids say a lot of things that their parents didn't say. I've heard kids say, you let me smoke weed in the house. You never told me to so-and-so. So now I'm sitting in this damn prison because you never had the balls enough to spank my ass. You never had the balls enough to do certain. I've seen that conversation at a prison with a kid sitting there with a parent who's my relative who didn't do nothing when I was telling him the whole time, you need to whoop his ass. You need to do this. You need to do that. Nah, I don't want to make him mad. I've literally heard those words. Now he can't stand you. Now he's in jail. Now it's his fault. Because he eventually did, he knew he was wrong. It wasn't like he was stupid. But what I'm trying to tell you guys is, I'm not saying, you got to understand something. The relationship that I have with my daughter, I'm very comfortable with that. If I was the type of person who never talked to my daughter about hard things, about graphic things, about hard things, things that most parents maybe wouldn't have to be comfortable talking about, then, yeah, that's a problem. But for me, I'm comfortable doing that. And what you have to understand is my daughter knows me. She already knows before. But I can tell you this much. My daughter's a lot like me. She going to tell me and be like, you like it? You like it. You don't? You don't. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I respect that about my daughter now that she's grown. So what I'm trying to tell you guys is my job as a parent is to love her, respect her choice, give her suggestions, give her information, and then let her go about her way. But God will hold me responsible for what I say as a parent. He'll hold me responsible for me telling her the truth according to the Bible. Whatever she does after that, God says, you're exonerated. You're exonerated. You did what you were supposed to. It was her choice. At that point, I've done my part. And that's all I want to do. My job is not to turn my daughter back. My job is to give her the word and tell her this is what it is. This is what the Bible says. This is what might happen if you do this, 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 and this. At that point, I planted the seed. Now God got something to work with. So that's all I'm telling you. That's my job as a parent. It's not my job to change my child. It's God's job to change my child. It's my job to put her in a position and plant the seeds in her to tell her the right thing, whether she accepts it or not. And that's what I'm trying to tell you guys. It's not to be mean to her or anything like that. It's to tell the truth. And to be honest with you, telling the truth is I'm finding more and more in this day and age, telling the truth is taken as offense. It's taken as judging. It's taken as you're being mean to me. You're an asshole. You know, this is called truth. But what? And I'm gonna be honest with you. What Satan is trying to do is that when we tell the truth to people, this society is so offense. They're offense hunters. Everybody wants to be told what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Even if you don't like it, you should be told the truth. If somebody walks in my house right now, my man, and he say, "Hey man, I want to come in and eat dinner," and he stink. Nigga, you stink. You need to go take a shower. He can get mad at me all he wants. He got a choice. You either go take a shower or you go out the other way, but you're not going to eat dinner here stinking. Now, if you tell people the truth, they're either going to get offended and do it or they don't. It's their choice. So that's all I'm trying to tell you guys. I don't want you guys to think I would treat her the same way as I would treat any of my friends. Now, the difference is if my friend came to me and said he was gay, I'm not going to pull out the Bible. That's not my job. That's not my child. I wouldn't do that. But
right,
if he came to me and asked me about it and to talk to me about it, now I have every right to say what I feel about it and to tell him the truth. Whether he wants to hear any more of that or decides to leave me alone, that's on him. But I would never force my information on anybody outside of my child or my family.
All right. I want to say something for just one quick thing, and then I'm going to let Cal, because I know he wants to jump in here.
Sure.
In my opinion, there's two different types of ways of telling the truth. It's the brutal truth. And the truth with compassion, and if you talk to someone that is a loved one, a daughter, a son, a niece or a nephew that's coming to you with a information that they're telling you that they're coming out, that they're gay, in my opinion, I wouldn't give them a brutal truth. I would give them truth with compassion.
But that's what you do when you open up the Bible. But that's what you do. But that's what you do when you open up the Bible to someone that already knows who you are, and I know who you are. This is not foreign to you. You know where I stand. So if I open up a Bible, you can tell me to close the Bible.
Yep.
I don't want to hear it. And guess what? I'll close the Bible and you don't have to hear it. But if I open the Bible and I tell you what God says, it's not my word. That's not brutal truth. That's God's truth.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but just putting a Bible in front of someone when they come out and tell you something like that I can't think of the right word, but it would greatly upset someone because now I said, oh, he's coming out with the Bible. Oh my God. I know I shouldn't have said anything to him. Like that, because now he's coming out with the Bible.
And guess what? If I that's why I said to you, I wouldn't come out with the Bible first to my daughter. I would talk to her first.
But eventually you said you would come out with the Bible.
You damn right. I come out with the same Bible when she asked me about everything else. Why wouldn't I?
So the law.
Right.
So God, you know what? Be the Lord of my life, but don't be the Lord of my bank. Don't be the Lord of my money. Lord, be the Lord over my wife, but don't be the Lord over me. I don't want to do that part. Lord, be the Lord of my life, but don't be the Lord of my bedroom. You know, I mean, we can't compartmentalize God. God is to me. This is just me. And y'all can say what you want. God is in everything in my life. He's Lord over all of my life. He's not just Lord of what I feel like. That's why when people get mad at me because I use a scripture, I use a scripture as far as life is concerned, people go, the same thing with the whole BS about separation of church and state. Man, I ain't tripping off that. If God going to be Lord of my life, he's going to be Lord of my politics. If he's going to be Lord of whatever, he's going to be Lord of everything else. It goes in accordance. So what I'm saying to you is that I'm not trying to hurt. I'm not hurting my. I wouldn't do it to anyone else because that person is not my. But my family, friends, people who are close to me, they already know who I am. When they come to me with problems, I pull out a Bible. I got relatives who don't even believe in God who come to me about problems, and I say, do you want to know? I've told them. I talked to them about it. I say, look, here's. They ask me a question. Am I nasty to them? No. Am I mean to them? No. Do I give them what you call brutal truth? It depends on what you think is brutal. Because the same people that you're sitting here saying that you should give it to them with compassion, come on, dude. I told somebody something in the nicest way. How many times have we all told somebody something in a nice way? In the most compassionate way we can, and they got offended any damn way. So what you going to do? You going to stop talking?
That's on them. But that's
exactly.
Them. That's
my point.
That's on them. Just like you said, if you quote a scripture without pulling a Bible out, it's a lot different than pulling a Bible out because that Bible is a symbol and it can intimidate
right.
a lot of people when you pull that Bible out.
That's what it's supposed to do. It's a living word. How come that's the only book you can pull out and piss people off? How come that's the only I've always asked that question.
No,
how
I didn't
come
say
the
I
Bible
didn't.
Is the only book that you can pull out and get pissed off. Now you can do it with the Quran with some people. With Christians they get mad at the Quran. I don't really care. But how come the Bible is only now that you said that, I'm glad you opened that up. Because let me ask you a question.
I'm not talking about pissing people off. I said intimidating.
When people get intimidated, what did you just say they do? Oh man, he pulled out the Bible. Man, I should have never told him nothing. Come on, man. The Bible is the only
book
that I know of.
That's not it. I mean, you know, to those that are, you know, that are intimidated by it is because, you know, they don't understand or they don't have no grasp of any type of higher learning or whatever because, you know, they're doing whatever they're doing.
I agree.
But my thing is when you pull it out, to me, you're pulling out a hammer when you really need a wrench. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only tool you got in your box. I mean, I understand it. You know,
but
I understand it, and I respect it, you know.
Right.
But
if me and you were talking, Mikhail, I wouldn't, but Mikhail, if me and you were talking, I would ask you. Because you're not my family, you're not my friend. You're not somebody
close
to me.
No, I got that.
So if
I got what you're saying.
I don't want to be nailed as this guy who just every time people, my friends, and come to me, I'm like, hey.
No, I got where you're coming from on that. I mean, because honestly, you know, and then when you talk about truth, too, you know, you're coming from your truth, you know, and then
no, I'm coming from God's truth.
That's what you believe to be the truth. You know what I'm saying? That's what you believe and you accept as
right.
the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But did I write it?
Hmm?
But did I write it?
No, you didn't write it,
okay.
Because it's not written by you does not make it true. I mean, does it make it true that there were 66 other books taken out of it? Is it still the truth?
That's
then?
True.
I'm not trying to get into that.
Right.
I don't even want to go there. You know,
I understand that.
What I'm saying is this.
You know, the thing with, you know, the child coming to you or whatever, you know, if my child came to me with that, then the only thing that I could respond to is with love. That's the only thing. I respect, you know, Magic, you know what I'm saying, for, you know, how he did respond. Only thing I did laugh at was how the young man came out. It was just way, way over the top.
Right.
You know what
you're
I'm
right.
saying? He just sent him a text message and tell him to match that stuff up. But anyway. it's nothing wrong with expanding on whatever truth that someone comes to you with, you know, because that's how I do, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people inbox me and come to me with a whole bunch of problems and a whole bunch of issues, mm-hmm. and I talk them through it, email through them, all kind of different ways, you know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
And it one of the things that I try to figure out what, you know, what this person is thinking, where they're coming from, where
exactly.
their heart is, where
exactly.
their mind is, and I try to meet them there, you know
and
what I'm
I
saying,
the
and then walk
thing.
Them to, and try to walk them to some type of higher understanding.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't knock folks for, you know, them being Christians, Muslims,
right.
Buddha,
right.
Hindu,
right.
none of that
right.
stuff.
Right.
My toolbox isn't limited, though. You know what I'm saying? I can pick and choose from different things and different areas. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
But I've highlighted the Bible and highlighted my beliefs, what you visualize in your head is that I pull out a Bible immediately and just
no.
beat people with a whip. Because I do the
no,
same
no.
thing. No, I'm saying
no,
I do the
I
same thing.
I don't have that vision.
No, I was going to say, because I do the same thing you do. Because everybody who I talk to aren't always close people. And I have a lot of people like you do, especially with this radio show, especially with the things that I do, coaching and playing. I have people that come to me with a lot of things and say, hey, man, you know, I'm going through this, man. I don't know how to handle this. What do you want to do? I have people who actually hit me who I know who are not, quote-unquote, saved and living crazy and will come to me and say, pray for me. I don't go to them and submit to that. I didn't advertise, hey, I'll pray for you. They hit me. I do it. I used to have, a long time ago, I had over 100 people on an email list that I would send out the word every day. And these are guys who are like NBA, NBA, all those guys. And I still see them during the summer. I don't do it anymore, but I used to. But I'm just trying to, I guess what I'm trying to say is that with me, I do the same thing you do. I talk to them where they are. If somebody says to me, man, look, tonight I slapped my girlfriend. Man, you shouldn't have slapped your girlfriend. I don't immediately say, well, God doesn't like, you know, I don't do that. I talk to him about, hey, man, that's wrong, man. You can't do that. Dude, you can go to jail for that. That's not cool. You should treat the woman good. Do you love her? Yes, I love her. Okay, cool. Now, if I know that they're a Christian or I know they have a sense of God, that's where I start to dig in and say, well, and then some people I've said, do you want to know what the Christian look is on it, what God says about it, or do you just want, or would you prefer not to? Man, go ahead, tell me what you want to tell me. Look, man, Jesus says you should love your wife as your own body, if it's a wife. You should love your wife as you love your own body. You wouldn't slap yourself. You wouldn't beat the hell out yourself, so why would you beat her? Now, some people, they would say, well, why would you say that? Well, because I didn't use the Bible, but I used the scripture. I quoted it. It made sense to him. You know what? I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, dude, you got some roads to build or whatever, whatever. So what I'm saying to you, I don't pull out a Bible on everybody, but I usually have a scripture or I know something or I use an example and say, that's what he thinks about this, da-da-da-da-da. So I don't want people to think that, because my thing is I don't shove my lifestyle in people's faces without investigating and finding out where they can hear, if they're willing to hear and they want to hear it. So I don't just go do that. Now, with my daughter or my family, that's something different because they know who I am. It's like if I wanted to go get somebody beat up, if I really wanted to be mean, somebody was bothering me and I wanted to get rid of them, I know who to go see in my family. Yo, I need you to find this dude at a job and go beat the hell out of him. Now, I'm going to tell him that because I know what he does. I know him. So I feel comfortable talking to him. I know he's not going to snitch. I know he's not going to run to the police station. So I'm giving you an example of saying when you come to when people come to me generally, unless they're a new person, I just met them today and don't know nothing, most people know who I am and they know where I stand and they know what I'm going to come at them with. So most people don't come at me sideways and think like, what the hell are you talking about? Why are you telling me that? I've had some who said, you know what? I really don't want to hear about God right now. I'm so mad about this situation, da-da-da. God, I'm mad at God, da-da-da. I don't want to hear that. Okay, then we take the conversation another way. I'm going to come at you with common sense. You know, I'm not going to do that until God opens up an area for me to say something that needs to be said. You know, and I've asked God before I've talked to somebody. I say, Lord, give me an opening to say what you want me to say. And I've had it come perfectly and been able to say what God put in my heart to say, and it's changed them. Or they said, you know what, I never thought of it that way, or what have you. So that's why I said I try to go in concert with God. I try to go in concert with what I hear my spirit say. When God tells me something to say or something to put on, I do. And I always ask, and I'm always investigating. I'm always trying to say the right thing and do the right thing because I know God is a sensitive thing to some people. I know that it's not just a thing that you can just blurt out and do. You know, but at the same time, there are a lot of friends, just like with gay things, there are a lot of friends I have that are doing things that they ain't supposed to be doing in lifestyles they shouldn't be in. And I pray for them. That's all I'm supposed to do. When they come to me or when I come to them or I see them do something they shouldn't be doing, I say, man, you know you shouldn't be doing that because I'm comfortable enough to say that because we've had a relationship. So that, you know, that's why I think I just want to say that, and that's why I said what Magic did is what I would have done with my daughter. I just said I would have done it from a little different, from just a different point. But that's
okay.
Because that's my baby.
Mac, we got another caller, Black, who's been hanging on for quite a bit. Black, how you doing, man?
What's going on, fellas? What's going on, Black?
Back from the back. Your back doing good?
Yeah, hey, Mike, I thank you for the prayers, man. I got clearance today. Everything's good, man.
I told you, man. I'm taking that personal training thing. I told you, go get that exercise. We're getting more problems because we don't exercise. We don't move. We sit on our butts too much. You got to go exercise. God made the body to move, so move it, like I told you before. So, anyway, I'm glad you're here, Black. So, I'm done with this conversation. I'm tired of y'all. I'll get over there. Like, I'm just playing with you. No.
What's up with that?
I said that, Jay, because I knew you'd react, Jay. I'm just playing. No. But to be honest with you, that's why I love you guys, because you give me a form and you bring up I know I brought it up today.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say, because I'm here on the show with you guys always, always, always bring out the best. In whatever I'm saying. But I know it's 7:57, and I'm not getting off because I do have to say one thing. Jerry tried it today. Jerry tried the site today, and I want to put this out here. There are people out here looking for jobs, and I think Jerry saw the site. Black saw the site. Black, did you see the site also?
I couldn't get the video, though, because I was on my phone.
Okay, because you was on your phone. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want Mikhail to look at it also, because I think it would be good if Mikhail likes it, that hopefully he'll push it. But what we did, Mikhail, I just explained to you, is that my wife came up with the concept. It's called 5staremployee.com. And in the old days, Mikhail, you know, when people used to be able to go, we talked about, I think, before, we used to be able to fill out an application, go inside and talk to somebody, shake a hand. You know, you get hired based off how you talk or whatever. You know, that's how it used to be. But now it's not that way anymore. Now it's just, you know, throwing a piece of paper into a hole and hope somebody down in the hole likes you. So they call you. And I find that very frustrating in the time I was looking for jobs and things like that. And so my wife came up with a solution, and it was called 5staremployee.com. And what it does is, it offers, it's free to the job seekers. You go to the site, which is 5staremployee.com, and you create a profile for free. You upload a video of yourself from your iPhone, iPad, YouTube, whatever, and you sell yourself, whatever you want. We suggest 1 minute, but we can't really restrict how long they can go. You put your resume up there also. So now what the employer does is the employer goes in and actually can see you, and your resume, as opposed to just being able to look at a piece of paper and make a judgment off you. That way, an employer can make a decision as if they want to contact you, they want to call you, or what have you, based off what they see. It's not just a piece of paper. My wife came with the concept. Jerry saw it. And as I said, Black saw it. But it's really good. We've gotten a lot of great feedback. We launched it a couple weeks ago. I would encourage you, Mikhail, to do it because you have a big following. And all it is, man, it ain't no magic. All it is it's just giving somebody it's giving employees, potential job seekers, a leg up. That now an employer can see them. I know I've already heard from a couple. Actually, Vic claimed he didn't say it. He said the only problem was him and one other Black lady I know said the same thing, and I knew they were going to say it. But the first thing the Black lady said to me was, I'm afraid that people are going to get discriminated against. And I told him, I said, I said, okay, so you're telling me if I put in a resume and they like what they see and I get invited to the office and I come to the office and they see me, they ain't going to have my eyes anyway. Once they see me, they're going to put me through all the paces and say whatever they say and shuffle my butt out. They're not going to hire me anyway. But guess what? Now if I don't like you, they're not going to waste my time and my gas coming up there. So I'm not worried about that. So I just want to tell you guys this is what it is. Please take a look at it. It's free to the job seekers, to anybody. The only person who pays is the employers, whoever wants to get access to the database. And right now we're growing our database. We're getting people to sign up for free and come in and do all that kind of stuff. So I would encourage each of you, if you believe in it, if you like it, push it. We were trying to get to 1,000 people at least, and then we're going to start going after we already have some job unemployment offices in Ohio that are going to start teaching classes on how to do video just because they saw the site and how to put it up. So we're trying to get people to see it, and, you know, I don't know if you guys like the concept. I know Jerry said he liked the concept, you know, and another feature of it is this, and I think this is a good one, is that the system is allowed where, let's say you own a business. Well, Mikhail, since you own a business. So let's say, Mikhail, you own a business. You're looking to hire some people. Well, you put out an ad in a paper or however you want to advertise it, and the system, when you become a member, a partner of the site, and you pay as an employer, you will get a job number. You can get a job code. That job code you will put in your ad. You will actually ask the people, all applicants, to go to 5staremployee.com and use the code. When you go into your account as an employer, all the people who use that job code, all the people applying for your job will show up there, so that you're not going into the whole system trying to find people. You're going to see all the people there that are applying and be able to look at their videos and look at their resumes and do it that way. We created that also. We also created where job seekers can also create categories. We have 60 categories already built into the website, but let's say for me, I train people in basketball skill training. I could put basketball skill training, and then I would start a whole new category. So everybody who used that same word would go in there. You'll still be seen all over, but that's where you'll be sorted. You know, so we don't have to always put in different categories and try to figure every category in the world to do. People create them on their own. And the last thing is, it's very affordable to small businesses. Our 30 day is only $149, and it goes all the way up to $1,200 for a year. It goes from a 1 month, a 3 month, a 6 month, and a 1 year. And it's very affordable to businesses, so anybody can do it. So if you're a small business, $149 should not be hard if you want to look at some people to potentially interview and hire. We didn't want to eliminate small business. I'm trying to get all the high parts of it. But if you look at the video on the site, it'll explain giving an overview of it also. And, you know, that's about it, and that's the concept. But we just wanted to get to a concept where people can actually be seen and give themselves a better chance for somebody to take interest.
Right.
And that's what we're doing.
How are you guys marketing to companies, you know, different companies, different organizations and stuff that you know that are your potential customers? How are you marketing to them?
Well, right now, her son, as far as in Ohio, because of the money, we had a big launch in Ohio about 3 weeks ago, and we spent a lot of money on that because Ohio is a little different than up here in the fact that it's a little smaller town. You got this ville, and people kind of know each other. It's in the Cleveland area. And her son, who is about, 24 years old, is really doing all the legwork. He's the vice president of marketing. He's actually the guy that's in the video on the site. He is the one who's really jump-started everything and gone around Ohio and got these people signing up and wanting to really get excited. And the greatest thing, I think, is that it's free to the job seeker. That's probably the greatest thing that I told my wife she could have done. I was like, that was, the greatest part ever because they'll never have an excuse. Now they have no excuse. But how we're marketing it right now is just by word of mouth, hook or crook, because we spent a lot of money creating the site, and we're still paying for it, and also, so we don't have a lot of money for marketing. That's why I kind of came to all you guys and said, hey, look, if you like it, you believe in it, it's a great thing. I'm going to eventually have my wife on here, to answer,
right,
and talk about it and stuff, and I'll make sure I invite you back, Mikhail. But she can tell you a lot of the in-depth stuff, but, I tried to ask her tonight. She was like, hell no. So I was like, she said, you go do it. She was like, man, you ain't going to put me on the spot today and have me just all of a sudden invite me. You give everybody else 2 and 3 weeks, and they ain't going to give me no time. So, but I wanted to kind of push it. But to be honest with you, Mikhail, we're kind of doing it the old, foot on boots on the ground way, where we just want people to go out and just talk about it and, push it and let people try. Here's the thing. It's just let people try. It's free. So it's not like it's something you can't get out of, you can't delete. They're not paying for anything, so they're not losing anything. But what we're basically trying to do is build up a database. Because once we have that doesn't stop us from selling to businesses or for human resource people. Because think about it. If you're hiring, Mikhail, you don't need a database because you can use the code and put your own people in. And you can
I definitely got that part. You
right.
You really versed on that part. What I'm trying to see is where your income is going to be coming from.
Where your revenue
generation is coming from. You told me the different prices that you're going to be charging and how you're going to get it. But as a job seeker, I would like to know, is McDonald's, are y'all partnered up with McDonald's? Are y'all partnered up with, eBay or, somebody
like
that?
I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
And right now we decided we couldn't go to those kind of people because those type of people are going to say, well, where's your database? And we don't want to go to those type of people. So what we're doing is we're starting what you call grassroots. So we're starting with just, Mikhail knows somebody who runs an unemployment class over at so-and-so. Get those people to go on and sign up and put up a free video. It doesn't cost them anything. So that's what we're trying to do, build up the database first. But there are instances where we have friends who know friends who are either HR directors or they run the local library over here where people are going and looking for jobs on the computers at the library, or this guy over here who's at the unemployment office, or these people who are at these temp companies in Ohio. Ohio's a little more open because my wife and her family's roots are down there a little bit deep. Here I know a lot of people, but I don't know who they know. So we're kind of doing it the slow and direct way. We don't really have the money to go say, all right, let's go put it in the Washington Post and run it for, the next 6 weeks. Or let's do this.
You know, perfect spot for this is that Fox 5 News in the morning when they had that thing for Allison Sagani.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And
yeah,
I got to do
that.
Look
into that. You need to look into that because they had my coach on there when he was doing his book. They always welcome people that's in the area that's doing things for the community. They love that.
But here's the catch 22, and I didn't tell you guys this, is that we're going through the patent process. So the patent lawyer told us we can talk and market. I can throw it in a little paper and this and that, but I couldn't go on American Idol tonight and go go to 5-5. I can't get big. So we have to kind of, keep it kind of,
You're patenting or you're trademarking?
We're patenting it, patenting the idea. And the attorney we're using has said that we can only go so big, not so big, but I guess what I'm saying is, I don't know, my wife can explain it better, but the way we're doing
I get what he's coming from.
Okay.
That's why I asked you with patent or trademark, because kind of the business kind of sounds similar to what Elance does.
Right.
But it's a different variation.
Because they only have a certain type of person.
Right, and then they have you know, then they have certain amounts of money that you could pay and stuff like that.
Right.
But y'all kind of coming from the job seeker area. From the job seeker's experience.
Right. We're patenting a process, not the site. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay.
You understand. See, I knew you understand. Yeah. And that's why I said that's kind of like I love what Black said, but I was like, Black, I'm in a catch. But I didn't say that. I was like, that's why I said, well, we're kind of in a catch 22. So that's why I'm kind of coming to you guys and saying, hey, look, check it out, look at it. You know, I tell anybody, you don't believe in it, don't get behind it. Trust me. I don't want you to push nothing you're intimidated by. I want people to ask questions, and if I can answer them, I'll answer them. But it's really simple. Is that we don't have any overhead. We approve the videos. Oh, that's the part I didn't tell you. It's called Five Star because when the job seeker puts their profile up, eventually it'll get to the point where employers will be looking through it, and they can rate them from a one star to a five star. The reason why we created it that way is to give the job seeker encouragement. So if I'm a two star. And I know that people are looking at my video, and I see that I got to a three star. I'm gonna feel good about it. But at the same time, I may feel like, you know what? Maybe my video needs to be a little bit better. Maybe I need to dress in a little better, you know, a better tie. You know, maybe I need to change it up a little bit. Maybe there's some things on my resume I need to look at, so that the person is kind of always, you know, coming back looking. It's something for them to come back for to redo it or what have you, and we came to five star. Because if a person's getting five stars, they know. People have looked at it, and people like my video, like my stuff. I'm drawing interest, whatever. Now, that's still not a guarantee you're going to get a job, but at least the person knows employers are looking at this. This is not other people or your peers. These are employers who do hiring, and that's why we call it five star. So I just want to let you know that's part of it also. We approve all the videos. So when they go in and put up the profile and they put up the video, we view the videos and we judge how it's, you know, if it's appropriate. Because, of course, you don't want to just be putting videos up of people. You know how crazy people are. Might go up on there, run around naked in their room. You don't want that up there. So we look at all the videos and we approve them. And then once we approve them, we put them up. If we do not approve them, we give a short note and send it back to them and let them know why. We may say, you know what, you can't be shirtless and be looking for a job in a car. You know? Again, not trying to hurt nobody, but just saying, you know what, you need to wear, you know, a dress shirt, preferably with a tie, and, you know, that will help you get, you know, more looks or what have you, in a positive way. My wife is very good at that. But, you know, so I'm just letting you guys know this is what it is. We launched it 3 weeks ago. Everybody who's seen it, we've gotten great feedback. People are saying this is great in this market with, you know, the downturn in the job. At least give somebody some hope. I know for me, I would feel a whole lot better because my resume has been on Career Builder, and I have yet to hear from them in the last, real meaningful. Not, I'm talking about not the scams and the crap that comes through on there. I'm talking about, you know, open a bank account and we'll give you $1,000 every day if you just go and on this website. And I'm not talking about that. I have not heard of a meaningful job off Career Builder probably about 6 years. It just goes there. Resumes just go there to die. So we just figured, what if you could see the person? You know, if I saw Mikhail and they're looking for radio personality, and I saw his thing for like 1 or 2 minutes, I'd probably say, hell yeah, I'll take his crazy ass and put him on the radio. You know what I'm saying? That's just what I need. I need somebody to throw rocks at my radio station and cuss me out and call me names. This is what I need. Ratings.
But look, you know what? Send me the site. You know, I'll take a look at it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all let me know how you gonna go after, you know, some of the companies that are looking to hire, you know, companies that you're trying to partner up with. Because I'm definitely looking to invest in something like that. It's really good. But I need to see the money.
But here's what we're not looking for investing. What we're looking for is that since we are here's where I'm getting to. I'll go to the bottom line. What I'm coming to you guys for is to say it doesn't cost job seekers anything. So what we're asking is go take a look at it. If you like it, get people to sign up who are looking for jobs. We all know somebody who's looking for jobs. We all know somebody who's been unemployed for months or years. Get them to do it. We're just trying to build up our database before we can go after those other people, and we're not looking for investors. The site is damn near paid for.
Okay,
so we don't have an overhead.
Hold on, Mac. Slow down. Let me explain to you. I know I said something real fast to you and real quick. So let me slow down. Let me slow it down and explain to you.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
If I get behind it and tell people to come to it, right, there's going to be a boost in your everything.
Okay.
I would like to get a part of that. You know, I don't want to be all up in there. I just want wet my beak. Okay.
You feel
me?
My wife just signaled me, and she must have heard what you said because she just signaled me. I know what you're talking about. Okay, that's the part I forgot.
Okay.
The other
there
part is that no, you're right. The other part is that we're looking for commissioned salespeople who can sell the partnerships. And there is she's already set up a commission structure where you get a piece of every one you sell to a employer, to a job, to an employer, whatever. Anybody becomes a partner, you get a piece depending on the plan that you sell. So there is a way to wet your beak. I forgot about that. So there you go. Mr. Beak, your beak is now officially put in position to get wet. And I forgot, and my wife, look, hey, Jerry, Jerry.
Yes.
And my wife got her thumb up like, yes, the crazy black man, put him up. Yes, that crazy loud black man, put him
up. Yeah, the crazy loud black man is, you know, is a very shrewd businessman.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'll put my money where my mouth is.
No, you
know what I mean? And
Mikhail, I forgot. You know, see how God works, because God was like, oh, yeah, you forgot about that. I was like, oh, shoot. And my wife looked at me. I was like, oh, yeah, I did forget about that. I said, okay. Because that's what she's looking for, is commissioned salespeople. And anybody can do it. You know, Jerry could do it if he sold something,
or
if you guys sold something, she's already got the system set up and the commission structure. And I will have her break it down and kind of explain it to me how it works. And if I can't get her on here doing it, next show I'll explain it all, you know, to you guys, or I'll show you how to do it. But yeah, anybody can do it. But that's what she's looking for, is people who can sell it, who can sell the partnerships. And meanwhile, if you guys know anybody, because the last thing I was going to say is that all you guys are very community oriented, and we always try to look out for our own people and for people that are around us or whatever. And anytime we can try to give, you know, any of our people or our community a leg up, I would, you know, that's why I came to you guys, because I know you're community-minded people. So I figured if you liked it and you saw the vision behind it, you could say, you know what, this is something good. It gives you a leg up. It's not a promise you'll get a job, but I damn sure take being seen over just a guy taking a reading my. I mean, as a person who's looking for a job, I'd rather a person see my face and hear me sell myself than to just look at a piece of paper and say, I don't, you know, maybe he's good, maybe he's not. I don't want you to go by my stats and my figures. That's nice. But I want you to know who I am before I get in your office and start talking to you.
Right.
You know? So, you know, I just asked you guys to help out. But Mr. Beakwetter, I'm gonna make sure I sign you up. As soon as we start, I'm like, hey, I know who to call. Mikhail, you number one salesman. I'm like, man, we might have Mikhail, like, man, we have to start buying plaques. Dude, we got to start buying plaques for Mikhail. Mikal's salesperson of the month every damn month.
No, not only a check,
but I'm just saying, he give you. Now that you say you don't want a plaque, we damn sure gonna give you a check and a plaque. Salesman of the month. Here's a check. Here's your plaque. No, Mikal, he'll probably be like, man, you can take that shit, but I just want the check.
Nah.
Nah, but anyway, I just want to tell you guys that's what kind of what I wanted to say, but I went off into this tangent about this other stuff because people were getting on my nerves, but you guys gave me a voice, and I appreciate it. Mikal, I mean, I want you, all my listeners, please, Mikal, tell people where they can hear you at, what night, give them the 411 on where they can hear you at.
Grown Soul and Real Talk, each and every Wednesday night. You can check us out at grownsoul.com. Still working on that site. And you can catch us on Facebook each and every day. Facebook.com/grownsoul. And I want to say happy belated birthday to Maya Angelou. We had 58,000 people that wished her happy birthday on our page. So
wow.
Shout out to her.
You know who else? You know who else everybody's talking about too is Angela Davis, and I can't remember the other lady too. There was another lady along with her that was around that time too, and I can't remember her name. Who did you say they said happy birthday to? Say that again.
Maya Angelou.
Oh, Maya Angelou. Okay, and I know it was Angela Davis, and then I can't remember the other person, but you know, so that's where people can reach you at. And hear your show. It's a hot show. Y'all need to go check it out. Please, by all means, stop by. And stop by Jerry's Place on Sunday morning. If you need to get healing from Wednesday night, you know, Sunday's a perfect time to come in and hear some stuff from Jerry. If you need to recover from Mikal's show, because Mikal's show is strong. That's strong coffee. You want to drink the week 7-Eleven stuff, come on Sunday morning, get a little bit of taste. It's still strong, but it ain't as strong as Grown Soul Talk. They talk about the subjects over that blicky. I know that for a fact. You
trust
might go
me.
Over there and hear some stuff. You mess around, come back with goosebumps and your hair straightened out. But
it ain't that bad.
I'm just messing. I'm messing with you, but I gotta hype it up because look, the more crazy I make it sound, the more people get to come over and listen to me.
We don't want crazy. We don't want crazy.
All I know is this. You got some crazy folks that follow you. That's all I know. Cause I know.
Nah, I got some good folks that follow
you. No, they good folks.
A lot of good folks.
Hey, look. Hold on. You a good person. Hey, look. I know a lot of good folks, but they crazy. Thank you. I'm good.
They
so don't try to step away though.
They ain't crazy, man. They ain't crazy. You know, it's just that when you hit a certain age, you know what I'm saying? You ain't got time for no nonsense.
Exactly.
So
basically,
when your soul has gotten grown, you know, it's easy for you to do real talk. That's all
right.
You want to hear, and that's the way
right.
you carry it. That's what you know, and that's the premise of what we've started. You know,
okay.
But you know, and sometimes people just hear it and just be like, damn, this is crazy. Something's wrong. Nah, we ain't crazy. We ain't crazy.
Well, let me ask you this. Since we still have time, I do want to ask you, since you guys are here, because I was on the show, but then I looked, I said, you know what, I got a good subject. So let me ask you this. What is you guys' opinion of the Rutgers coach and the film? I'll give you my take quickly. I don't know, and y'all going to laugh at this, and I said this on Facebook, and maybe I think Mike saw it. I know
yeah,
Mike
okay.
saw it.
Yeah.
I ain't know Jerry saw it. But I asked this question. I'm going to say it. I don't know who the hell Rutgers is recruiting. But the niggas I know ain't going to be in no practice. The players that I know ain't going to be in nobody's practice letting a coach, be it a white one, kick me in the ass, throw balls off my head, grab me up, and shove me and push me in practice. I'm going to tell you for one, I love God. I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But I would have beat that man with the love of God and the love of Jesus. I'd have whooped his tail. I'd have whooped his ass in that practice. You throw a ball off my head, we scrapping. I still have looked at that film and have not figured out, and I've counted about five black guys in that total film that I've seen,
Oh yeah.
And I don't understand how you let a man kick you in your ass. Put his foot in the small of your ass and kick you, and then jerk you, and then throw a ball off your head, and push and shove you, like you a whore. I mean, what is that? What did I say, Mike? Where did they get these niggas from? I don't know if they're going out the country, out the West Bubba, whatever, suburbia. I have never seen it. I can't believe I watched that much film and nobody took a swing. That's just crazy to me. So I'll let you guys expound on it, but I know it's absolutely ridiculous, and I'm glad the AD went, because I said the AD should have been gone, because there's no way in the hell I looked at that film and that man would have stood there another minute in that school. He'd have been gone. It wouldn't have been no suspension, no fine. I'd have told him, you got to go. More for his safety, my mistake, than for the kid's safety. But, you know, I don't know what Rutgers doing. Isn't that in New York?
Rutgers is in New Jersey.
It's in New Jersey, right?
Yes. I think it's about 20, 25 minutes from where I live.
North. So obviously they're not recruiting nobody from New York, because there's no way there's a New York kid.
No, they recruit kids from all over the country, wherever they can get them from.
Okay, well, they must be from Africa or from
the South. There's not one player on that team from D.C., Maryland, or Virginia.
I was getting ready to say, because Slim, you'd have got your head knocked Slim off. Ain't no way in the hell I'd let no. I ain't never seen no coach. And, in fact, I'm gonna let Jerry have a little glee with this one. Hey, Jerry, you know I was watching Fox today, right? So I'm watching Fox. Wait a minute, you know the guy named Eric Bowling, right? Don't you know this fool said, well, there was a guy on Fox who actually had the nerve to say that he thinks that sports are getting wussified. He looked at that film and said he didn't see nothing wrong. I told him, I said, you are crazy conservative. Exactly what I said, because ain't no way I'd have had my kid, and you think that's okay? And looked at that film like he's crazy. So anyway, I'll let you guys spout off about it, but for me, I'm glad they went, and I think the president of the school needs to go too, because there's absolutely no excuse for none of that. It's ridiculous.
Well, for the simple fact is, he didn't even bother looking at the film. He was told about it, but didn't even bother looking at it.
Wow.
Didn't it happen last year, Jerry?
Yes, it happened late part of last year, and he was told about it, but didn't bother looking at it. Excuse me, didn't bother looking at it.
He was suspended in November.
Just relied on the AD to handle it, and pretty much just turned a blind eye to it.
And the AD messed up because he suspended him in November for three games, I think, and he lost and gave him a fine or something, and then sent him to anger management class. Are you serious? That's why I said he should have went. That's why I'm glad he got fired. I was like, he should go too. There's no way in the hell you can sit and justify. When I look at that film, I'm like, Slim, really?
Well, you have to think now, besides the president, besides the AD,
right.
They had in-house counsel, they had out-of-house counsel, they had people from the HR all looking at this, all knowing about it, and signed off of it pretty much and left it up to the, so they say, left it up to the AD, or the AD consulted these people, including the president, and the president signed off on it. And also, like I mentioned yesterday, that he got read up for his contract.
That's crazy.
We talked about this yesterday. He got his contract got re upped late part of last year also, and that includes the president who signed off on renewing his contract, which is absolutely crazy, and it happened after this.
That's just nuts. I'm gonna be honest with you. I still don't understand how kids went home and talked to their parents and never said, you know, my
that's crazy.
Hit me in the head and this. I'm like, what in the hell kind of kids are these? Well, you got kids who tell on every man. I work in the high school system. I work in high school every day. These kids will tell any man, let a teacher cuss at them. What, you cussing me? Man, I'm gonna get my cell phone, call my daddy up here. I'm serious. I'm sitting like, where do you get these kids from? Like, how did you get away with this? And then they're talking about the kids were intimidated and scared. Intimidated and scared? Are you kidding me? I've got to be crazy. Like, that's not a, you. I don't understand how you think that's acceptable. If the only way, the only excuse I could have to thinking that that was acceptable, why those kids tolerated that, that means you must have all along, since you've been in basketball, all your coaches have treated you like that. There's no way in the hell you could tell me any other excuse. There ain't that much ass kicking in the world. I'm sorry. There ain't that many bouncing balls.
Black, do you smell that?
I smell it. You smell it?
Yeah, it smelled like some propaganda. I smell some propaganda behind this. You know? And, you know, and I hate to sound all conspiracy theorist and all, but it's amazing to me how this story just mysteriously popped up right after that young man just broke his leg all up. Before that story started
yeah.
to grow some legs, this story popped up out of nowhere, and now this is all we're talking about in the NCAA.
Yeah, that's
smell
true.
Like some propaganda to me, Slim, and it stinks.
I know. Well, let me ask you this. Where do you guys stand on, and I just want to ask you guys this, where do you guys stand on, there was a good discussion I saw this week on it, and where do you guys stand on these athletes getting paid? Because that leads to that. That kind of led to my question. Like, everybody's making all this money, and these people are just doing this crazy corrupt stuff. It's like, should we pay athletes that are making all this money for these universities? I just want to know what each of you guys think. I think they should be paid something.
I think they should be paid a stipend or something. But I'm starting to think that the NCAA is like the NFL. I'm thinking it's a non-profit, but for-profit business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was going to say the NFL is a profit. Well, NFL is for profit business anyway.
No,
NCAA.
No, sir. The NCAA is non-profit as well as the NFL.
What?
Yes, sir. Both of them are non-profit.
Well, I know the NFL. You telling me the NCAA is non-profit organization also?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Those are the only two. Not major is Major League Baseball is not. Basketball is not.
You just taught me something.
NHL is not. But the NCAA and the NFL, they are non-profit organizations.
So you're telling me the NFL is a non-profit?
The NFL is a
non-profit
organization.
So where do they make their money? So you're telling me basically all the profits, how do you structure that? I'm trying to learn something here. So how do you structure it to where these owners make money?
They have a deal. You know they have a antitrust deal with the government.
Okay,
now,
right.
You
know
what? I could go on and on about these crooks, but
I get you, like
I'm telling you, this story stinks. That story stinks because it came out and it got everybody riled up and it grew legs and now. You know, we're not even talking about that young man. You know what I'm saying? We're not even having a discussion or debate that we're having. You know what I'm saying? It's not a mainstream or a national discussion that we've had on Vic's show. We've had I think I've talked to Jerry on his show about it. I've talked about it on my show, and we've talked about it here about players being paid. You know, and it was ironic because the weekend before the incident, you know, Vic and I were going back and forth about, you know, players and them getting into, you know, financial trouble and them getting their legs broke and all that kind of carrying on. We went back and forth. But the thing of it is, though, man, you know, these organizations, the NCAA and the NFL, you know, they're structured to make more money, you know what I'm saying, and to profit off of what they're pimping, you know. I got mixed feelings about it because I grew up watching basketball, you know, NCAA basketball, doing my brackets. I grew up watching football, you know what I'm saying, playing outside, you know what I'm saying, and when I got punished, I was in the front yard with one football, playing 22 positions on the field, you know what I'm saying? So I love football, you know what I'm saying, I always have. But as I've grown older and just seen it, and just seen how, you know, each you know, we've had story after story after story after story of players being busted and broken, players winding up on drugs and this and that and this. And the only thing that remains constant is the game. They still remain, you know what I'm saying? And they continue to make more money. They continue to make more profit. And they continue to keep it. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
And it's all set up for them to keep it. It's all set up for them to keep it. That's why I laugh at people that say, baseball is America's pastime. No, it's not. It's not. Look
right.
Where the money is. You know
right.
What I'm saying? The money
right.
is in the NFL and the NCAA. That is where it is.
Right. I believe you. Well, Jerry, I mean, did you have any feelings on it at all, Jerry, about the, you just think it was...
What's that?
About
Oh, my fault. I didn't ask you
no,
a question. Yeah, I believe they need to be paid. They all need to be paid.
Well,
okay. What do you think, Jerry?
I stand by my belief that they should not be paid. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't think they should be paid. I think it's going to lead to a lot of unseedy things happening in the NCAA. Not to say that there aren't now, but if anything, they should take out some. And I don't know if they're probably doing it now, taking out some type of insurance to ensure that if anything happens to them while they're in school, that that they'll be covered. If especially if it's a career threatener, like possibly with this basketball player. But to be paid in school with these young kids, 19, 20, 20 years, 21 years old, playing whatever sport they play, there's too much that can happen with a kid that's getting paid. Where do you draw the line on how much they get paid? Let me put it that way. And do you pay more to the star player than you do the last person on the bench? How do you structure that? Let me put it that way.
I think I explained it before, but I don't know the exact numbers and all that. But I was saying that why not let a kid get what Black said, a stipend. You let them get a stipend, something that just like what they do in the car business or sales business. They give you enough to keep you around, but enough that you ain't going to get comfortable that you still have to, you know, you're not going to make a living off of it.
Yeah,
and then what you do is you give a certain percentage. I said you should give a certain percentage because they're selling jerseys and all that stuff. I said you should take a certain percentage of it and it should go into an account that they can't touch. And then that account grows as long as they stay, each year they stay. If it's 4 years, he leaves with that money that's sitting in that account, and he leaves with that. You know, if he goes 2 years, 1 year, then he leaves with whatever he has at that point. I just said that. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I understand what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but if it's an even playing field, you give the last person on the bench and the first person, the star player, the same amount. There's always going to be that one star player, if not many of them, saying, "Well, why am I getting the same as this guy who doesn't play that much?" He's just barely making the team, and I'm the star player.
Well, guess what?
He's not
exactly
in the NBA.
Exactly. You the same way they sitting here now telling them we ain't paying. You get a free education, so shut up. Same way you say it there. What you gonna do? Go somewhere else. You get an opportunity to be seen on TV. You get an opportunity to be going. You ain't gonna trip off that because you're gonna make so much money out of there. Who's gonna really make a big deal about it? You can,
yeah, you
but
get
I'm just saying.
Opportunity to be exploited.
The egos that are with the star players. Mm-hmm. You, I can bet you damn well that a star player is saying, "I want to get paid. If I'm the best on this team, I want to get paid like I'm the best on the team. Not the same as the last guy on the bench is getting paid."
I agree. I agree that may happen in some instances.
I mean, but you're not a professional. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you're not a professional. So I mean, I understand. You know, I get where you're coming from, but you're not a pro. You know,
yeah,
pro.
But the
I
fact,
think
but
be,
the fact
agree,
if you're getting paid, you if you're getting paid, you're somewhat of a pro. I understand you're supposedly keeping an amateur status.
So let me ask you. So you're telling me that, and this is well documented, that you get the scholarship, it takes care of your room, your board, your books. But
some of these kids who come from homes that ain't got rich parents, you can't go buy a slice of pizza. And if your coach goes out and buys you a slice of pizza, it's a violation.
Right.
Or, you know, can't go to a movie
and
do something else.
All that,
so what
all
I'm
that
saying,
stupid stuff need to go, man. All
right,
that stupid
right.
stuff need to go.
There's
all
my,
the
there's my
where they can't work in the summertime and all that kind of kernel.
Right.
That's a slippery slope. Once you open
right.
that can of worms, where does it stop?
I don't care where it stops. Because where we are now, it ain't working. It ain't working. It's not working, Jerry. I mean, it's not.
I understand what you're saying, but if you open it up and saying these guys should get paid, we're gonna give you a certain amount of money. You get paid. We're gonna be able to if you need money, we're gonna give it to you. Where does it stop? I mean, then you have boosters jumping in and giving these kids all kinds of money.
I mean, Jerry, it's real simple. They just set up a pay scale, a straight pay scale. You know what I'm saying? For how many years they playing or whatever. And if you want to be, you know, all socialized and stuff, you can make it, all right, every year that you stand, you know what I'm saying, this is how much you get paid at the end of the year. Period. You know what I'm saying? So it's an accumulative thing. So if you
right.
play, you
okay.
know, all this year, you could do.
Okay.
They could pay you out something like $40,000-$50,000 straight off the top, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? And it's a scale.
And it's not
based on who's the star, who's this player, who's this and that, and it's not based on that. It's straight
right.
based on a straight scale that you know that increases each and every year. You know what
okay.
I'm saying?
So this is a scenario that you're painting in. So somebody like a Syracuse or a Florida, compared to somebody like Florida Gulf Coast, that pay scale is going to be different. They could, because Florida Gulf Coast can't pay the same amount of money because they don't generate the same amount of revenue as a school like Syracuse or Georgetown
mm-hmm.
can.
Mm-hmm.
So that pay scale is going to change. So the balance of power with players is going to greatly change even more because the players are going to want to get paid. So they know if they go to the big schools with a big program, they're going to get paid versus someone who wants to go to Florida Gulf Coast. They're never going to go there because they won't get paid the same as one of the big schools.
Why is that different from what's going on now?
Exactly.
You know what I'm
Kentucky
saying?
Goes,
I mean,
Kentucky
because,
goes.
Because,
all the kids
because,
go to Kentucky because they know they can do a one and done and
right,
they're going to get seen
right.
and go out. So, if,
right.
so why would not go there? So here's
thing,
my.
Hold on. One more point I want to make. And another thing, HBCUs have not been irrelevant in years.
Exactly.
Years. In years. You know
right.
what I'm saying? They have no players coming in. You know, every once in a while you get Hampton to pop up in there. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
Every
right.
once in a while.
Right.
You know
last
what I'm saying?
Time Bradley produced
the
quarterback.
The football part is a joke.
Exactly.
Come on.
So that's why I agree with you because that's why I said. But that's why I said everybody. To Jerry's point, everybody, Jerry, can't – the numbers just ain't going to work. Everybody's not going to go to Alabama. At a certain point, you're going to pick certain kids, just like in the NBA. You have a tryout. Certain people make it. Certain people don't. You only have a certain amount of slots. You might have 20 guys come in and competing for two. But two of those people are going to get that spot. Everybody else is going to be gone. So I agree with what he's saying. What I'm saying is the balance of power, yes, it can. But let's be honest. The SEC has the balance of power right now. They have everybody going to those schools because everybody wants to go to those schools because guess what they're all looking at? Dollars. If I go to LSU, if I go to Alabama, if I go to, you know, these top schools, I got a chance if I can break through and perform and be a starter, I'm pretty much guaranteed I'm going to get drafted. So they're going to do the
mm-hmm.
same thing. So why not give them – so I'm saying why not pay them? Because, like he said, I just think it's highway robbery that we're not talking about a few hundred thousand. We're talking about billions of dollars that these guys,
exactly.
just like you talk about the NFL, just like you talk about the NBA, who are making all this money, and then everybody uses the same excuse. Well, you know, who supports the soccer team? Who supports, you know, the volleyball teams? But those big sports bringing that money. And I'm sitting there like,
care about soccer
you
and all. I'm not going to watch them.
But what I was trying to say is there's so much.
Yeah,
when you're talking about, but what I'm saying, but when you're talking about billions, Mekhi, even if you pay people on who are all starters who are actually playing, you're not gonna crush volleyball. These students, the FEC is making so much money. They're built. This is what kills me. They're not potlining their pockets. These schools are building arenas. They're
exactly.
building football
exactly.
stadiums. They're building buildings.
Exactly.
They're not. It's not
right.
about the, just the volleyball team.
Right.
They have the money to do whatever the hell they want. We can do
exactly.
that. What was the scandal? What was the scandal, Makai, that came out? Was it last football season, college football season? Not the last one, the one before that, whatever. Where all those people were taking? They found out all those people were taking the money, and in the it was either SEC, it was somewhere they were doing it, and they were, it was all kind of corruption, and they fired half of them people, and they was. I mean, when you get that kind of money, all I'm saying to you is this: there's no way in the hell that you should pay a person's room, board, everything else, and then tell a kid, "Fuck you! You can't get a piece of pizza." That's just
right.
that I can't.
You can't
I can't
go get
understand
a job.
That because
you can't
we
go
won't
do this.
Like,
you can't go do that.
We wouldn't even do that. You wouldn't even do that to a poor person or on
no.
the street. You wouldn't even do that
no.
to a homeless person.
No,
I'm not gonna get you
crazy.
A hot dog because you didn't get it. That's like kind of to me. I just think like if you're selling my jersey, you're selling my shirt, and I'm drawing people in. You got me on national TV. I'm getting seen. I should get something. I'm not saying he has to be a millionaire. I said, well, I don't believe in him getting enough to where he can get comfortable and like, oh, I'm good. Nah, you give him enough like any other business does. Commission does that. They give you enough to get by, but not enough to get comfortable. You still got to go out and make sales. If I, what would you say, Jerry, if they gave the kid $300 a game? $300, what do you think $300 would be to a student who has nothing, who has no
yeah,
money
but,
for pizza and stuff like
but,
that? And
but
his room is paid. $300 is a lot of money to a kid
who
comes from the home and ain't got no money.
Yeah, but $300 ain't no money. They need to get a little bit more than that.
But I'm not saying that.
$300.
Hold on. Let me make this one piece. Wait a minute. Let me make this one point. But, Mikhail, if me and you were kids from the hood and you give me $300 every game, or let's say you give me $300 every game, okay, I can make that work. Noodles,
right,
pizza.
But Mac,
I'm not being funny
right,
like
but
that
Mac,
seriously, but I'm
Mac,
just saying you can make that
but
work.
But Mac, the problem with that is
mm-hmm.
you're still exploiting the kids. You're still exploiting them.
Right.
You know what
but,
I'm saying? $300,
right.
No.
What I'm saying is,
that's exactly what I'm saying. If it's not $300, how much is it?
No, but I'm still working off the premise, though, which I didn't include, but I'm still working off the premise of what I said originally is that you take a certain amount of those of a bigger portion and put those away in an account for him. I'm just talking about what he gets in his hand every game. I'm not talking about giving him the full amount. I'm not talking about the money off his jersey sales. You give him a percentage off that, and you put that away for him that he can't touch. And when he leaves school, he should be able to leave with that. He's had a stipend. Now he has this, based on how long he plans to stay.
For a conservative, you sure are talking about a lot of socialist stuff.
But that's not socialist. That's
well,
not socialist, though. That's business.
I have a problem
no,
with
that's
the
socialist.
Simple fact
what
is,
you talk, what you talk about is socialism, straight
no,
socialism.
No, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
That's business.
Okay.
If you, wait a minute.
Oh, it's
if you were, no, but if you were
that's,
making,
that's like,
not
yeah,
socialist.
That's like Muggy and LeBron right now. Look at LeBron. LeBron says...
Huh?
$200 million worth of Nike product every year, and he only gets paid $15 million for that.
Right. I give you that, and that's what. But what I'm saying is that's not socialism. That's business. That's a business. You're making up. They're making a killing off these kids. That's not socialism. Socialism to me is when you're doing programs and you're using taxpayers' money to pay for it, and it's getting wasted. And you believe it, and everybody has everything.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm saying
socialism.
To you,
oh, okay.
No, I'm just saying for
all
me,
right.
I'm just saying that's not socialism. If I'm going out and
but,
I'm a product and I'm making a profit
actually,
off of a product, that's business.
Yeah, but
that's
actually,
business.
Actually, what you're doing is regulating exactly what you're going to give him and what you're not going to give him based
oh, you're
on
that part of it
based
is.
On yeah, based on what. Which you
okay.
know what he should be doing or where
okay.
he is in a certain part of his life. That's
and I only and
quasi,
but the only reason
quasi,
but the only reason
socialism,
wait a minute,
you want
but
to
the
put,
only
you want
yeah,
to put
but
it,
the only reason why I said that wait a minute but the only reason why I said that but I tell you why I said that but I tell you the difference. The only reason why I said that was because I wouldn't give him all of it. It's only because kids at that age get in trouble with that kind of money.
If you were
that's
giving
exactly
them that kind of money,
my point.
They get, right. That's all.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why
that,
I said that.
Yeah,
if we were dealing with grown people,
part,
I would be all for
and
it.
And that's the part that makes it socialism. That is the
okay.
exact part
okay.
that makes it socialism. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you take it right out of the business realm when you say that. Because business
okay.
is free enterprise, period.
Right. That's why we shouldn't have the two-year rule in football. We should let them come out of high school and go to football. That's why we shouldn't have the one-and-done rule in college. We should just let them come out.
Nah, I think they do. I think they should have that. You know what I mean?
Because at 18, I can go get a job.
No,
I can go get a job at 18.
Should,
I can go kill
should.
People. I can go
yeah,
over, look, I can go
should,
play in a
yeah,
war.
You,
I can go get killed in war.
Yeah,
and
but,
kill somebody
yeah, but you,
at 18.
But each one of those, in each one of those areas, you get trained. You know what I'm saying? You get
exactly.
training. You
right.
know what I'm saying? I think they should at least have a year or some time. You know, they should really.
They complain
really,
about
they
that.
Should open up that. They should have been. They should have opened up that. They need to. They should open up that D League to that stuff, man. I don't
but
understand
they,
why they didn't do it, but I kind of understand. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want to encroach on the NCAA. Because
yeah.
the NCAA got
but they,
you know.
But they crying
NCAA
about that now.
NCAA got pulled over the NBA for real,
they
for real.
You hear me? They crying over it. They crying about that now, though. To be honest. They crying about now. I heard them yesterday on the McDonald's high school game. They were talking about they should have 2 years. And I'm sitting now they mad. I said, y'all made it 1 year. Then y'all get mad because now the dudes are one and done and they're still leaving. And now you say, well, now they should just do 2 years. I'm like, this is stupid. They should have
right.
kept it where it was at high school because now y'all mad because now you're mad because now all the high and mighty people don't like it because now we can't make money off of them for 3 years or two
exactly.
years or four years anymore. So
they,
now they can
they,
leave in
they,
1 year and go make good money somewhere else. And I'm like, that's wrong because when
right.
you had it out of high school, y'all was pissed off. Now
yeah, but
we make
yeah,
1 year.
But if they, I think if they come out of high school, they should it should be like baseball. It really should. You should have to go through the minor league and the D league and stuff. And the NBA should do that, but the NCAA gonna trump over them
you
all
actually,
the time. So
honestly,
that ain't gonna happen.
Honestly, not to say you're wrong, you're right, but to be honest with you, a kid can do that if he's good enough. He can forego going to college for that 1 year. Because remember, there was a kid a couple years ago who went overseas for a year, and
yeah,
he came
you can
back.
Do that if you
and then
you
can
do
so you can do
and all that
and you
can
do it with the D league too. But the fact of the matter
yeah,
is, you got to know you're good enough to do it.
That's what
Kyle's
right. doing. Now.
Right. Exactly.
What you say, Black?
I said that was the Brandon Jennings route. He went overseas and came
mm-hmm.
into the NBA. Played with Milwaukee.
That's why I said you can still do it, but they just going to make it where it's different. Unless you're really, really good, you're a gifted kid, you ain't going to be – everybody can't go do that. You know, and that's the whole thing. So you're right, Mikhail, you're right. But, I mean – you know, for me, I just know because I've seen kids at that age with a whole lot of money, i.e. drug dealer or i.e. got all this money, and then the next thing you know, you turn around and they're, you know, dead or they get in trouble with that all that money, stuff like that. If that's called socialism, then guess what? Guess I'm a socialist.
I didn't know you were such a socialist.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know I'm not a socialist. I'll let you twist that and say that. But I'm just saying.
No, I ain't twisting it. You just said it. You
okay.
just said it.
All right. I'm a socialist
just,
because
just,
I'm restricting
just,
the kid
just,
because
no,
I'm restricting
you,
the kid
no,
from
you,
getting,
no,
from
you just
getting too much
all,
money.
No, you just described the reasoning through all social ills, drugs, them not spending their money the right way and all like that.
Right.
And I'm going to show them by, you know, giving them the money at a certain pace and a certain way because of this, this, and that.
Said.
Socialism. That's socialized.
That's
socialism.
But that's what I just said. Okay, so let me ask you this. So do you agree, and I'm going to ask this, do you agree that I wrote a paper on this in college about last semester, and I wanted to ask y'all this question, and then we're going to have to close it down, but I wanted to ask this question. I believe there's one reason why I agree with you about the NFL, the NBA being, you know, corrupt like they are, whatever, because people are broke, and I believe that what they should do, and I said this in my piece, is that they should put these kids, when they're rookies, through a class, mandatory,
about how to handle their finances, insurance, bonds, stocks, how to invest their money. I think they should put them through something like that, you know, and make it a requirement. They can still go and get their contract, they still do, but they have to finish the class or there's some kind of punishment. I had it all listed out, but I don't have it in front of me. But do you, I would be more in favor of that. Instead of us hearing people being broke, at least we know you did it. You had to pass a test. You had to have it administered. We knew you know the, we know you know the information. Now, whatever you do after that, that's on you. But no more athletes can cry and come back later in years and say, I just didn't know how to handle finances. Or you got these athletes are coming along in the tail end of their careers trying to figure it out because they spent their real money-making years throwing their money all over the place. So real quick, I just want to know, yes, no, you know, whatever.
I think it's a good idea. I don't know if it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it'll work because, you know, it's just too much. It's just too much stuff out here that you can get into. Yeah,
right.
I mean, I think it's a good idea to do it. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be against it. I don't have nothing against it. But there really needs to be some more involvement from these from these companies and these organizations
mm-hmm.
that's making this money.
Right.
What about you, Jerry?
I got nothing, man.
Hey.
I got nothing.
All right.
What about you,
Black?
It's a good idea, but it's hard to go against the almighty, powerful nonprofit organizations.
Yeah, you're right. You probably
anything
you guys
that
are probably
their
right.
Money is not going to work.
But like I said, I just want to let because I heard what Mikhail said, and the only thing I'll say to you is this, Mikhail, you're right. There is too many things to get into with your money. But what I'm trying to eliminate with that plan is eliminate the excuse of them coming back and saying, I didn't know. And that's what we're hearing from people. I didn't know how to handle my money. I don't know this. I don't know that. And they're coming from families where they don't teach that. But if you teach it to them and you give it to them, now it's your choice. You don't do it, you can't come back and say, I don't know. That was my whole premise on the whole thing.
Right. So when they busted and they turned out by these nonprofits and from all the money that they spending and stuff like that, you could say, well, we tried to tell you. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You knew
sounds like a good plan. Yeah, you knew it. Yeah, good plan. Good plan.
Anyway.
Good plan. Thumbs
anyway.
Up on that one.
Oh, my Lord.
We got two minutes, man.
I want to thank Jerry for I want to thank my guest, Mikhail. And Black for being on the show. I really appreciate you guys coming in. You guys always push me to be better and push my reasonings, and I appreciate it a lot. Please listen to both of them, Black on the FSP show, Crew Show, and Mikhail on the Grown and Sexy Talk on Wednesday.
No, grown soul and real talk.
Sorry.
Grown soul and real talk.
Soul
don't get it twisted.
And real talk. My bad. I'm sorry. I lost my mind. I've been drinking.
Thank you, Jerry.
And Jerry on Sunday. You're going to get a bunch of listeners now from that one. But sexy, for real? All right. And Jerry on his Sunday show, The Master Plan. And with that, I just want to thank everybody. Have a great week, man. Appreciate you guys, and hopefully we'll do it again next week. If I don't have a guest, I have to check my schedule, but definitely be listening to y'all shows, and y'all definitely listen to mine. I appreciate all my fans. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week. And with that, we are out.